Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I don't know about you, but, you know, this has been a fast year. It has flew by, and we're past Merry Christmas now, and we're into Happy New Year. And I do pray that you will have the most fulfilling, purpose-filled, Happy New Year that you have ever had, because you choose, if you're a Christian, to follow very closely your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian, I'm telling you, what is going to make this year for you is if you choose to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. We pray you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes to Let's Talk About Jesus. Amen. Because we're going to talk about how to respond to God's unfailing love. It's one thing to receive God's unfailing love. It's an entire different thing to respond appropriately to that love, literally to reciprocate and be grateful and thankful and love Him back for the great love wherewith He loved you. And I've chosen the scripture today from Psalm 105. We're going there in just a few moments. If you want to mark it down, this Psalm 105, because from the 7th verse on throughout the psalm, it is giving all the incentive for what the first 7 verses are all about. Amen. So you don't want to miss this. This is good, and if we follow through with it, I believe we're going to see blessings in spite of the circumstances of the economy or the circumstances in our families or in our bodies or on our jobs. I believe that we're going to see God's goodness in the land of the living. David said in Psalm 27:13, I had fainted, I had given up, been crushed by life, unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We all know when we get to heaven, we used to sing the song, when we all get to heaven, what a time of rejoicing that will be. Well, I believe that there is space and room for some rejoicing, not just in the sweet by and by, but right here in the nasty here and now, because God is with us on our way to heaven. And because God is for us, and God is with us, and God is doing great things in this day. Oh, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to one of the best years that I have ever known. And I pray that you will be before this broadcast is over today. We have hope for you and help for you from the Word of God. Hallelujah. So don't miss this broadcast. We would announce to you once again, if you type in on Google, Pastor Robert A. Venable, V as in Victor, E-N-A-B-L-E. It will take you to the Holy Church of God Incorporated here in Tampa website. You're welcome to come visit. There are some of the most recent Let's Talk About Jesus programs there to download from that site. If you missed one or you want to hear one again or get some biblical references and download it, it's there to play for free. No strings attached. If you want a sermon from a live service in our congregational gathering where we have our church services, I'm telling you, they're there too. Many of them, and they're free to be downloaded. It's just and there's a statement of faith there. You can understand exactly what we believe, where we're coming from theologically, biblically. And I know that we're in this for the long term. We're getting ready to celebrate 36 years in January of this pastorate here in the Tampa area, the Holy Church of God Incorporated. So we invite you to come and do that. Amen. But above all, we invite you to stay tuned for this broadcast today. If you have your Bibles, and you will turn with me to Psalm 105. If you read from the 7th verse on in your personal devotionals, you're going to find why the first 7 verses are written. It is the requisite way to respond to the mercy and grace that had been shown this nation and was being shown to this nation by a covenant keeping God who set His love upon them by covenant. and kept the covenant and actually demonstrated the strength and power of that commitment and that love through how he acted toward them. The great provisions, the great deliverances, the great history of this nation of having God come through and God deliver and God bless them. Hallelujah. And all of those wonderful acts of God toward them is recorded in this wonderful Psalm 105. It's a history lesson in the faithfulness of God to His covenant people. And the reason I want to read verse 1 through 7, actually, I'm kind of taking this and putting it on the end of it. What should we do? How should we react? What should be our response to a God this faithful? A God that's loving, a God that would commit himself to the gift of his Son, and a Son who would commit himself to us through his sacrificial suffering death on the cross and his wonderful acts toward us. Oh, I pray that this brand new year is an opportunity to live thanks, not just give thanks to God. As a Christian, if you don't know Jesus, won't you stay tuned and listen to the wonderful message of God's grace and mercy today. Amen. Psalm 105, verse 1 through 7 tells us how to respond to the mercies of a covenant-keeping, faithful, ever-loving God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to how it begins. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. I can't emphasize enough how much an attitude of gratitude, a greatly grateful heart, means to God. It is verified throughout all of the Bible. It qualifies every prescribed sacrifice in the Old Testament, or it disqualifies it. God requires gratitude for His goodness. It's not something that is all that costly to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It just requires a heart that appreciates all that He's done for us through Jesus Christ. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. And talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name, and let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done. Mark that well, because from verse 7 till the end, it is to put the nation of Israel and the people of the covenant in remembrance of how faithful God has been down through their generations to them. Hallelujah. His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all of the earth. Now, before you jump ship and leave this in the old covenant, seed of Abraham and children of Jacob applies to you if you're a Christian today. For the Bible is very clear in the New Testament that they are of the household of faith, or of the seed of Abraham through faith. And the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon them. You know, the Bible calls us as Gentiles, if you're a Gentile believer, a wild olive branch that's been grafted in to the true vine. I'm not a farmer. I don't know a whole lot about horticulture and agriculture, but I know enough to know that if you take a cutting from another something and you cut the stalk of what you want it to be grown to, in citrus in particular, you can bind that up, and whatever comes up through that vine to the true vine or the true tree will come out into that branch, and it will live and bear fruit, because it's getting the same nutrition, the same everything it needs to be fruitful as the true one does. Praise God. We've been grafted in to the true vine. Praise God. The Bible said that the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile in the new covenant has been torn down. And God sees us as one great body, one great church if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. And it's this kind of love that is shown in how He responds to us. You know, David said, I love the Lord because He heard my prayer. I love the Lord because He heard my cry. I love the Lord because He heard my voice, turning His ear always to me. Literally translated, He bends down and listens when I pray. How did David know that? Was he able to see the God who is invisible? Of course he couldn't. God is a spirit. Amen. And then how did he know God is so intent on listening to us when we pray? It's because God responded. God answered. God moved. And all of the rest of the Psalm 107 is about God and His acts toward His people. A history of God's provision. A history and a legacy of God's deliverance. So let's look at verse 1. How do we respond to what God has done for us in the new covenant? How do we respond to all that Christ has done in our life, in our homes, and in our families? It simply says, give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name. What does it mean to call on God's name? God's name is the expression of His character. He said to Moses, I am who I am. He reveals His name as Yahweh in the ancient text of the Old Testament. And His dealings with His people unfold throughout the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We see that name filled out with ever-increasing knowledge of God's character. He is holy, eternal, and all-powerful God, whose being is far beyond all that we can possibly imagine. His perfection and purity burns up all that's impure in His presence. But for those who trust Him and approach Him on His terms, He is the close and caring God who comes down to rescue His people. It's not until the New Testament that the fullness of His name is known. Yeshua, whose name means God to the rescue. God is Savior. That's what that word and that name is all about. Our Joshua, our Savior. God to the rescue is God made man. We just came through the Christmas season and we dealt with the fact of God coming down to us and becoming a baby in Bethlehem. Emmanuel, God with us. God could do more than He has done to show us His name, His character. His name is Jesus. And that name encapsulates all the wondrous, wonderful facets of God's character. That's why Jesus said, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. To really know Him is to really intimately know God, who is invisible. But we could behold Jesus, and we could see the character of God, the express image, the Bible calls it, through the life, ministry, and teachings of Jesus Christ. To call upon the Lord's name is to call upon Jesus in the new covenant, and it's to call upon God's revealed character as the God who saves, the God who forgives through the death of Jesus, our Passover Lamb, who is sacrificed for our sins. Listen, Jesus is the God who delivers from sin. He's the God who delivers from sickness, the God who delivers from Satan. Praise God. He said, I and my Father are one. We work in tandem, in total harmony, in concert. He's the God who delivers from all the circumstances of life in a fallen world. Depression, addiction, divorce, death, painful memories. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. The busters whose lives are broken by sin and its consequences. That's a name, busters, given to so many of the X generation, so-called. The youth that are literally... living their life without the hope that we who trust in Christ have, whose lives have been broken by a culture that puts pressure at a very young age on young people today. Listen, we need to be thankful and call upon His name. And then, number two, we need to, as the Scripture tells us, make known His deeds among the people. Folks, if you're a Christian today, we're a people with a testimony. We have a gospel of grace to proclaim. One songwriter wrote, "It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." Listen, you may not be a theologian, but if you have been saved, you have a gospel to proclaim. You may have never, and you may never, stand in a pulpit and deliver a theologically accurate biblical message, but you can tell what Jesus has done for you. And in so doing, you can make known His deeds among His people. Praise God. Not just what the Scriptures declare, but what you have experienced personally in your walk with God. And what a powerful thing that is. Literally, what He's done for you are done among the nations. Praise God. Hallelujah. We serve a God who answers prayer. We serve a God who gets involved in our lives. We serve a God who intervenes. Praise the Lord. And we should worship Him with deep devotion as we give testimony to His goodness. Look at verse 2. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. And talk ye of all of His wondrous works. I'm going to read a testimony here from just the first name, from Wilma. She said, "My dad was a very bad drinker. He beat my mom, and after he shot my brother, I left home and lived on the streets of Chicago for 4 years. I had to do anything and everything to live. Plus, I got into drugs. When I found out that I had hepatitis C and was pregnant, I left Chicago and went to Kentucky. God took the needle away from me 22 years ago, and I'm now praising God for my health. Now we take in homeless people, for God has not given me life just for Wilma, but to use it to live for Him and to help others. I was a dead woman walking, and now I'm alive and realize that He had His hands on me every step of the way. Wilma, I shall not die." This is her last, this is a scripture she loves out of Psalm 118. "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Talk ye of all of His wondrous works." I'm telling you, don't be afraid to tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. Because there's power in that testimony. There's power in that witness. Praise God. We serve a God who actually gets involved in our lives. And He is a mighty deliverer. He will rescue you. I don't know what your hang-ups are today. You may think you're too bound up in sin to be set free. But obviously, you haven't met Yeshua, Jesus, the mighty one who has come to set you free. And oh, how He wants you to meet Him and find out what He can do. By the way, He asks you to come just like you are with your sin. He doesn't expect you to deliver yourself, but to trust Him for deliverance. Praise God. So many people won't come to Christ because they feel like they couldn't live the Christian life. And I'm telling you something. I came to Christ. I found out I can't live the Christian life, but God can live it through us. Hallelujah. I don't know how to explain that in this short time, but all I know to tell you is this. When God forgives your sin, He doesn't leave you on your own to walk this out in our life. He comes in to indwell us. The Holy Spirit comes in as well to indwell us and empower us. And what I could not do myself, I can do through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If God gave you the strength, don't you think you could come out of that prison of fear, doubt, bitterness, unforgiveness, addiction? Sure you can. God is mighty to save today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, we can know God and seek Him with great joy. Look at verse 3. This is how to respond to His goodness. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Glory ye in His holy name. You know what glory means? It means to boast. It's the one time that boasting is not wrong or prideful, when we boast in our God and His goodness and greatness. God's name, names reveal His character. We can know Him and we can boast in His name. There's a bold faith in this knowledge. Listen to Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to exalt the Lord with consistent praise and rejoicing. Hurting people will be given hope, and they will be encouraged. That's why that worship service shouldn't be just a prerequisite to the preaching or something that we call it the preliminary. It's really not. It is vital to that service and to what God requires of us. Psalm 34, 1 through 3 says it very clearly. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. That word humble in the Hebrew means poor, weak, and afflicted. It doesn't mean humble like meek and kind and tender-hearted. It means poor, weak, and afflicted in the Hebrew. And it means people that are crushed by life. When they see people that have been through similar circumstances, and God has intervened, and God has rescued them, and God has strengthened them, and taken them through the dark valley, and they are rejoicing and giving a testimony through their lips to the Lord, the way they praise Him and what they tell you that He's done in their life experience, it gives hope to people that would otherwise be hopeless. The humble are going to hear when the church begins to boast in her God. And they're going to be glad that they're not hopeless, that there is a God who listens to prayer, who forgives sin, who delivers us from the hand of the enemy. The Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir has a mighty impact on bound and broken people. They sing with such conviction, and many of their personal testimonies declare God's delivering power through Jesus Christ. They're not just singing Amazing Grace because it's a beautiful old hymn. They're singing Amazing Grace because it's a current thing that has happened in their life. And they've been delivered and set free. Praise God. And everyone who hears their testimonies says, you know, there's hope for me. If I'm an addict and there seems to be no way out of my addiction, I just heard an addict stand up, an ex-addict, an ex-alcoholic, and sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound, and give credibility to all of that with a testimony of what God has done in those lives. Listen, God keeps His covenant. We need to remember His works, His wonders, and His words. I'm going to close with 5 through 7. It said, remember His marvelous works which He hath done. Again, we're going back to how God moves in response to those that call upon Him. His works, His wonders, and His judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham His servant, and ye children of Jacob His chosen. He is the Lord our God, and His judgments are in all the earth. Hallelujah. We should worship the Lord. from the bottom of our heart this year that is coming. Praise God. The verses that are addressed in verse 6, the sons of Abraham, the descendants of Jacob. Now, there are very few of us today listening to this broadcast that are truly descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the normal bloodline. Most of us are not Jews, but the New Testament shows us that every Christian belongs to this family whose history and calling we inherit. Here are the early chapters of our own story in the remainder of Psalm 105. We can sing of its marvelous beginnings with more than just a spectator's interest. Listen, Galatians 4 and verse 7 says, those who believe in Christ are the children of Abraham. And if we are in Christ, then by faith we are descended from Abraham. This is our spiritual heritage. Oh, you got to read the rest of this psalm and see these works, the faithfulness of God to the covenant people. This is our spiritual heritage, therefore, through Jesus Christ, the Son of Abraham, our true Passover Lamb, the one who ultimately fulfills all the promises in the Old Covenant. Through Him, we remember not only what God did for Abraham, or His marvelous deliverance of His people in the Exodus, but we remember especially what He's done for us in the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus on our behalf. Looking back on the history of the ancient people of the Old Covenant, we find God faithful. Looking back to the early church, we find God faithful in the New Covenant. Looking back at the trouble in my own life, I can honestly say God is faithful to His covenant. So this coming year, friend of mine, don't forget to remember. Claim God's covenant promises. He will not fail, and He will not falter. He is absolutely faithful. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's this God that we declare unto you today through Jesus Christ, His Son, and our Savior. Praise the Lord. Friend, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior today, it is my great privilege, my great honor, not just my responsibility. It is my great privilege and my great honor to invite you today to become one of these covenant people. Hallelujah. For God becomes your Heavenly Father, Jesus becomes your elder brother, and all Christians throughout all the world become your brothers and sisters. You're brought into a mighty growing family that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and can now call upon God in the name of Jesus Christ and begin to see His marvelous acts, His wonders, His interventions, above all, His rescue from the awful prison house of sin and the law of sin and death. Would you bow your head wherever you are today and start this new year the way you know in your heart? You know, a lot of people are going to make resolutions. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Well, good luck with that. That's all I got to say. I hope you do. And hope we can keep it off. I'd like to join you in that. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to spend more time with my children. I'm going to spend more time with my wife. I'm going to read more books. I'm going to get my diploma, going to go back to college and get a degree. Ah, friend, those are all noble things. But the greatest thing of all is I'm not going to put off anymore trusting Christ as my Savior. I should have done it a long time ago, but a new year is kind of like a brand new opportunity. Don't know what the year will hold. Don't know if I'll see another. So this year, I'm going to begin it with a brand new life, a brand new clean slate. Jesus Christ, forgive my sin. I trust you as my Savior. Let all the blessings of your blood covenant come upon me and my house. Come and rescue me and set me free. Well, our time is gone, brothers and sisters. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. God bless you.